Alhamdulillah wa salat wa salam wa rasulullah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluh. All praises are due to God. All thanks and praises are due to God. Lord of all the worlds, Lord of all the universe, all that we can understand and perceive, and what science is just now discovering and will discover, and the Lord of all that we will never perceive, that we will never see or understand, He is the Master Creator. He is the Lord of all, and we are grateful to Him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship than the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger of God, completing the long chain of prophets that includes Jesus and Moses and Abraham and all the other prophets and messengers we find in God's Holy Quran. May God's peace and blessing be upon them all, inshallah. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you today about Prophet Yunus radiallahu anhu, may peace be upon him. Prophet Yunus, or Prophet Jonah, as he is called in English. And the example of his life and how it's applicable to us today, living here and now. And I want to say at the outset that today's khutbah is first and foremost a reminder to myself and the necessity to always be growing and to adjusting my humanness, my being a creation of God, to be a Muslim, and then a reminder to you, my dear brothers and sisters in faith and community. Prophet Yunus, radiallahu anhu, is mentioned in three different surahs in the Quran. First in Surah Yunus, which is the surah that bears his name, but is only mentioned in one verse. Then in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, in two verses there. But the most full revelation about his story comes in Surah Al-Asafat, chapter 37, in verses 139 to 148. And so this is where we start. And it's 12 verses altogether. In these 12 verses that shares a story about one of the great prophets, we find volumes of life lessons. Volumes of symbolism, multifaceted in nature. SubhanAllah, so much guidance in those 12 verses. And every time I am blessed enough to be able to read them, I find something new. And SubhanAllah, in my opinion, that is one of the miracles of the Quran, that you can read the book over the course of your life, at different times in your life, at different phases of your life, and different chapters of your life. Every year, every 10 years, every quarter century, whatever it may be, and you can find something new, reading the exact same verse. SubhanAllah, this is one of, I think, the miracles of the Quran, that you can gain new soulful perspectives that bring comfort to our hearts and peace to our mind. Now, when we hear about Prophet Yunus, we often gravitate towards, understandably so, the miraculous part of his life, which is that he was swallowed by a whale and that he survived that encounter. And again, it could be, you can't fault us for gravitating towards that. But that part of his life does not seem to be an allegory, meaning that it actually happened, that he was actually swallowed by a whale. In other parts of the Quran, of course, there is allegory and there is metaphor to convey points that God wishes to make. But in this particular case, that does not seem to be the case, that this was a miraculous event. And it's described in the Quran, in Surah Al-Asafat, and it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and there they cast him into the sea, whereupon the great fish swallowed him, for he had been blameworthy. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And we know that after he was swallowed, the whale regurgitated him, and he ended up unconscious on a beach, a desert beach. And this was after asking God for forgiveness while he was in the belly. of the whale. But why was a prophet of God thrown into the sea in the first place? Why was he in the belly of a whale? And what did Prophet Jonah do that was so blameworthy, as the Quran uses the term, blameworthy, that got him into this predicament? Why did he do, what did he do that the Quran describes and records from now until the Day of Judgment that was so wrong? Well, again, in those 12 verses, we explore Jonah's life. And let us start from the beginning. Jonah was a prophet, of course, but he was given a mission, like all prophets and messengers, a very weighty responsibility by God himself to deliver God's message and to deliver to a very specific community, the town of Ninive in Assyria, of what was being called at the time Assyria. And as the Quran puts it, that this town, Ninive, had about 100,000 people in the town. So Jonah's mission was to deliver God's message to this town. That's not a trip down to the grocery store. That is a huge responsibility. One can only imagine, and you can only imagine because it will never happen again, of being contacted by the supreme creator to deliver his message. Now, like all prophets, Prophet Jonah went to the town, and when he was delivering his message, he was faced with challenge and opposition. And so much so that this challenge was presented to him by the people of Ninive that it caused Jonah to get angry. As the Quran describes, that he had wrath. The Quran uses the term wrath. And what happened is that while Jonah was in this town of 100,000 people trying to preach the message of God's word, he was frustrated. He was opposed. We don't know to what degree. Was it violent opposition? Was it just verbal opposition? Was it just being mocked? We don't know exactly, but it was enough that it broke his will. He fled. He abandoned his mission given to him by God. And only God can judge a human being. But can you imagine being told by God to do something and you abandon it? And I will share with you in a moment about how I think we do all have something that God has given us that we must fulfill. But the Quran talks about how he left in wrath, so he was angry, but then also that he fled like a runaway slave. SubhanAllah, that's how the Quran describes his demeanor, his emotion when he was leaving the town of Ninive, that he fled like a runaway slave. And if you can just think about it for a second, imagine you're a slave, you've escaped your master or what have you, and you're in fear, you're feeling anxious and anxiety, and so he's fleeing this town in anger and like a runaway slave. So here we have a prophet, his will has been broken to carry out a mission. He's fleeing in anger and in fear. And there are many lessons to derive from that, but I want to speak of one that really struck me, and that is the fact that we are weak. Jonah was a human being, just like you and I, and God has created us all weak, as it says in the Quran. He was subject to the same emotional upheaval like we all experience. He was subject to anger and frustration like we all find ourselves in every once in a while. He was subject to fear and hopelessness like we all sometimes experience. And you can imagine him being in this town of Ninive and offering people something good, something that is good for their souls, for the akhirah as well, and them rejecting it, and him getting angry. He was indeed a human being. And it says in Surah Al-Muhammad, Surah 47, verse 31, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and most certainly we shall try all of you so that we might mark out those who strive hard in God's cause and are patient in adversity, for we shall put to a test the truth of all your assertions. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. That's not just for a prophet, that's for all of us. And as it says in Surah Al-Balad, in verses 4 and 5, verily we have created man into a life of pain, toil, and trial. Does he then think that no one has power over him? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. We're all going to go through difficulty. We're all going to go through trial. And what I find interesting, and we don't have time to get into it today, is the second part that I read, which is that, does he think then that no one has power over him? That in the moment of distress, that in the moment of pain, in the moment of difficulty, where we're trying to take control of a situation that seems to be uncontrollable, it's God that has control. It's God that has control. And so we continue on with the story of Jonah. He left Nineveh, and he went off in anger and wrath. And again, what we can define ourselves and derive from this is that he was given this mission in his life, and he abandoned it. And I think to ourselves, how many times do we find ourselves involved in an organization, maybe here at the Islamic Center, or maybe in some other organization you're involved with, or at work, or in our families, or wherever it may be, and we say, they're just not getting it. They don't understand. They aren't listening to what I'm saying. Despite my best efforts, it's frustrating. And so, khalas, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. That's something that we all have experienced or seen to some extent. Or we engage in something, whether with the organization or in a relationship, whatever it turns out to be, and we get pained and hurt to such a degree that we abandon the situation altogether. But here's the thing, we abandon it even though we know in our hearts and our souls that we should stay involved. We leave rather than take the courageous step, and I'm guilty of it as well, rather than take the courageous step to stay engaged. Now, I'm not talking about caustic or abusive situations. That's a different story. And that requires a different mind and a different mode of acting and thinking. I'm talking about situations where our own ego, and Dr. Maher Atul Allah Yarhamo used to always say ego, E-G-O, stands for edging God out. I'm talking about situations where our ego and our pride, and in a difficult situation, maybe the self-pity that we sometimes wallow in, deter us from going down the path of what is good and what is right. So getting frustrated and upset is part of what we will be going through. But the takeaway here, and as I read the story of Jonah, is that we must have thicker skin. We're never going to experience what Jonah experienced. We're never going to get a message from God to deliver it. But each of us has a purpose in life. Each of us has something in life that we will find difficult to do, but know needs to be done. And so as a result, having that thicker skin is going to, put it in sort of a pedestrian term, is going to be part of what we have to do. Now, the story of Jonah goes on. He flees Nineveh. And like I said, he ran away like a slave, and he gets to a port town where there are ships departing in the sea to leave this whole area. And he's so anxious and he's so desirous to get out of the situation that he finds a ship that's already full of people. It's already sort of packed to capacity, and he gets on this ship, as the Quran describes it, that it was a laden ship. It was already full. And so he's so, upset that he says, I don't care, I'm going to get on this ship. He gets on the ship. The ship sails, takes sail, it sets sail. And sure enough, after they're away from the shore and now in the middle of the sea, the ship starts to sink because there's too many people on the ship. And what happens? They have to draw lots. They have to cast lots. They have to see who pick sticks, like we did in school here. You know, whoever draws the shortest stick gets the whatever it turns out to be. In his case, he drew the shortest stick. And what he was drawing the shortest stick for is to basically get thrown off the boat. And he drew the shortest stick, and sure enough, in these stormy seas, in the tempest of the sea that he was in, he gets thrown off the ship. Now again, if you put yourself in his shoes for a second, can you imagine being on a ship in a raging sea, picking lots, and you're the person that's chosen to be thrown off? Certain death, one would imagine. And the emotion he must have been feeling at that time, being thrown off the ship. And so he is thrown off the ship, and here now comes the whale. The whale, which is maybe in some respects seen as a test, is actually a mercy. It swallows Jonah. And it must have been like a blue whale, or it must have been obviously some big, large whale. But it swallows Jonah and ingests him into the whale's stomach. He's not affected, apparently, by any digestive acids or whatever you have in the stomach. But it gives Jonah shelter from the sea that he's in. Similarly for us, when we are going through situations, when we are thrown off that proverbial ship, and we are going through a problem in life, and what we see coming towards us, which we think is something probably even worse, turns out to be the first sign of mercy from God. Turns out to be the first sign of mercy from God. And while he's in the stomach of the whale, as the Quran describes, that's when he has the epiphany. That's when he realizes, oh my Lord, I have made a mistake. And he says in the Quran, as it says what he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but then out of the deep darkness, out of the deep distress, he says, there is no deity save you, O Allah. Limitless are you in your glory. Verily, I have done wrong. And so we responded to him and delivered him from his distress. For thus do we deliver all who have faith. Sadaqallah al-Azim. He was in the belly of the whale. He realized then that he had abandoned his mission. He realized then, at that point, after abandoning the people of Ninive, that I should have stayed. This was a mission given to me, a task given to me by God, a purpose given to him by God, and he abandoned it. And to beg the question in my mind is, what mission do I have? What mission do each of you have in your respective lives that's going to be challenging and difficult to go through and to accomplish, and may yet make you feel like abandoning it altogether? Those are the tests and the trials of this life. But, subhanAllah, we can have hope. We can understand that, and as God subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we responded unto him. Faith in God in that difficulty takes us from that distress into hope. It crosses the threshold from being engrossed in our own egos and our own pride into realizing that it is really for God's purpose that we are serving in this life. The story goes on. Jonah is then regurgitated by the whale. He ends up on the shore of the sea, but by a desert. And he is recuperating there. And as the Quran describes, and one gets the impression that he was put up on this shore, but he was unconscious when he arrived on this shore. And let me just read from Surah Al-Safat. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we caused him to be cast forth on a desert shore, sick at heart as he was, and caused a creeping plant to grow over him out of barren soil. And then we sent him once again to his people, 100,000 souls or more. And this time they believed in him. This time they believed in him. And so we allowed them to enjoy their life in the time allotted to them. Sadaqallahu alazim. From that act of asking for forgiveness, he achieved success. He came back. He was ended up on the shores. And I'll talk in a minute about this plant that the Quran refers to. But then he went back to Ninive. And that same people who were giving him such heartache, if you will, that caused him, that broke his will, they ended up becoming believers. You don't know, my dear brothers and sisters, what may be causing you frustration today, if you persist and if you carry forward, will transform. You will cross that threshold from what you think is failure into success. With God's help, of course, and with persistence and with humility. And as the Quran describes in another part, in the first Surah Al-Yunus, it says something very special about Ninive. And it's unique to Ninive what the Quran describes. It says, "For alas, there has never yet been a community that attained to faith in its entirety." So Ninive is the only community that in its entirety converted to Islam, basically. Converted themselves to submitting to God. And thereupon benefited by its faith. There's been no other community except the people of Jonah. When they came to believe, we removed from them the suffering of disgrace. SubhanAllah, Matt, look at the words that are being used. The suffering of disgrace. The suffering of disgrace which otherwise would have befallen them even in the life of this world. But we allowed them to enjoy their life during the time allotted to them. SubhanAllah. Sadaqallahu alazim. SubhanAllah. In this single verse alone, we could spend hours on the topic of the transformative power of faith. God's mercy. The concept of how disgraceful behavior can cause you to suffer. And again, through faith and repentance, how this life can actually become enjoyable. And in the second part of the khutbah, we will explore a couple of more lessons. Qudu Allah. Ask Allah for whatever you want. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdu la sharika wa ashadu anna muhammadin abdullahi wa rasulullah. My dear brothers and sisters, just like Jonah is described as fleeing like a runaway slave, we ourselves cannot run away from our own problems in our own lives. In fact, if we understand Jonah's story, we see that those problems are not in our own lives, not meant to tear us down. They're not meant to take us off the path. They're in fact there to build us up. And in fact, we would not be facing the problems that we may be having if God didn't already equip us to deal with those issues. And there is the metaphor of a person lifting weights, a weightlifter, somebody who has strong muscles. And I see, alhamdulillah, some brothers here who apparently lift weights. When you lift your weights and you're struggling and you're trying, what happens after you lift weights? You get sore. And that is because the fibers in your muscles are tearing. But then, after that soreness comes, the soreness goes away, and your muscles build up, and you get stronger. That's one of many metaphors we can draw in life to show that whatever difficulty you may be facing in life, whatever personal challenge you may be facing in life with your spouse, with your finances, with your children, with community, whatever, that is not meant to tear you down, but it is maybe there to build you up. It's maybe ripping apart some of the fibers of your muscles, if you will. But once you recuperate, you will be stronger. And the path to recuperation is through faith and humility. And finally, the last part, that plant that Quran refers to, the creeping plant growing over him, Joseph, out of the barren soil. That's just not some ad hoc mention of a plant somewhere in some desert growing. That is a symbol. That is a symbol of God's mercy. It was at that point where he was regurgitated onto the shore that he had asked for God's forgiveness. And after the forgiveness was sought, the mercy came. God knows he can give mercy whenever he wishes, but in this case here, the mercy came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you one can picture Jonah on the shore with the plant growing over him. Maybe it was miraculous. Maybe it came at a fast pace and shaded him in that desert shore. But it speaks to the fact that through faith, through submitting our own egos, our own wills to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that that mercy will come. God subhanahu wa ta'ala gives mercy and forgiveness to the believers. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please guide us to the straight path. Please keep us along the straight path and submit ourselves to your will. Oh Allah, please protect our souls and protect our families. Oh Allah, please protect that from above us and below us and to the left and to the right. Iqamatus salah.